I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. This news is good, but it's also kind of depressing. New Jersey is poised to be the ninth state to ban the gay panic defense. That means there's still an awful lot of states that still allow a defense that is pure pseudoscience, doesn't exist. No such thing as gay panic as a disease, as a psychological issue that would give you an excuse for killing gay people, which is how it's been used. The United States is one of the last outliers of this defense. In truth, it's a pretty piss-poor defense. It hasn't been very successful in general. It doesn't usually result in the acquittal of the defendant. Nonetheless, it has been used quite a few times to get a lesser sentence. Wikipedia lists some 20 instances of people using the gay panic defense, and there's also, of course, the trans panic defense, or something very similar, that the very existence of someone being gay or transgender, that's enough to drive you into a murderous rage. And so you're not really responsible for whatever you do when faced by the horror of being confronted by someone who is gay. The UCLA Law Review published an interesting piece by David Allen Perkis. It's titled, A New Strategy for Neutralizing the Gay Panic Defense at Trial, Lessons from the Lawrence King Case. And one of the things they look at is, in that paper, is the lack of social science support for the gay panic defense. We just don't have the social science that says there even is such a thing as gay panic. If you kill somebody for being gay, you're just a psycho who kills people. And whether it's because you're quote-unquote afraid of gay people, that has nothing to do with anything. And yet, assuming that New Jersey passes the ban, which I think they will, that still leaves 41 states where this pseudoscientifically based defense is still allowed. That's insane. HIV has been with us for nearly four decades, and yet ignorance about it still persists, especially among young people. A survey released at the end of November, sponsored by Merck and the Prevention Access Campaign, found that 23% of HIV-negative millennials and 41% of HIV-negative Gen Z respondents admitted that they were either not at all informed or only somewhat informed about HIV. Nearly half of the HIV-negative respondents, between 18 and 36, also believed that the virus could be transmitted by someone whose viral load was undetectable. Just so you know, that's actually a key goalpost. If you can get the viral load to undetectable, you cannot transmit the virus, period. Even more shocking, the survey found that 28% of HIV-negative millennials have avoided hugging, talking to, or being friends with someone with the virus because they felt that could be contracted that way. And 30% said they prefer not to interact socially at all with people who have HIV. Now, of course, as every listener to this show knows, HIV can only be contracted by coming into direct contact with bodily fluids like blood and semen. You can't get it from hugging. You can't get it from just touching someone. And you certainly can't get it by just being around someone with HIV. These kinds of ideas, along with getting it from a toothbrush or a toilet seat, they should have disappeared 20 or 30 years ago. We're way past that on our understanding of the disease. For the survey, they used 1,596 millennials and generations. Do we call them Generation Zs is the proper plural? I'm not so sure. Yeah, I think so. The AIDS crisis is certainly in a different place from when it was absolutely a death sentence. It's not anymore. And really, for the first time, the ability to eradicate it is kind of within our view. But it does not help to have so many people clearly not understand it. Speaking of people who don't understand HIV, President Trump and his administration certainly don't. We now have a confirmation from a border official who says that migrant families have been forcibly separated due to a parent's HIV status. That makes no sense. That is pseudoscientific. That's more ignorant than many of the millennials we just talked about. Then we have Trump's own namesake inferred in a tweet that you can lose your life by having sex with someone who has HIV. Well, that's not so true anymore. First of all, HIV is more difficult to contract vaginally than it is anally. So your odds are much lower if you're having vaginal sex, but also much lower if you're having oral sex. And while it is horrible to contract HIV, it's not really a death sentence anymore. It is a problem because you could be on very expensive medicine for a long time, but it is no longer a death sentence. And then there's Trump himself, who seems way more overly optimistic about HIV. A few months ago, he announced that they were going to develop a plan to end HIV in a decade, by 2030. And we just got what his plan is. And I believe for a lot of reasons it's doomed to fail. For one, the guy implementing it is an anti-science right-wing extremist. I'm talking about HHS Director Alex Azar. He is in charge of making this HIV eradication plan a reality. And he's part of the reason that this program that they want to implement, if you could call it that, is so flawed. He is a former pharmaceutical executive. So this whole plan is based strictly on pharmaceuticals. And I don't know that it really is a plan as so much as it is a plan to protect a pharmaceutical company. He also worked closely with the Alliance Defending Freedom to develop an anti-choice family planning policy. He is not a friend to gays or to women. So he's the wrong man at the wrong time. So let's go into the policy. They're calling it the Ready, Set, Prep program, and the idea is it'll provide about 200,000 uninsured Americans annually with free access to daily pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP. Now, PrEP actually works. It's got about a 90% success rate. Look, it's great that we would be providing some people with access to PrEP. That's wonderful. But it doesn't even come close to being enough. There are 1.2 million Americans who are currently at risk for HIV. Now, about 220,000 had received prescription for PrEP in 2018. This would add another 200,000, but there'd be some crossover. So let's say, generally, we're looking at 400,000 people. That's 800,000 people too few. But here's what I think is really going on here. Gilead, who makes Truvada, and it is great that they came up with this drug, but they came up with this drug thanks to government-funded research. And they've been ripping the public off ever since. And there's been a lot of talk of taking Gilead's patent away, a patent which I believe they have dramatically abused. And as we have discussed on this show, I'm very much in support of Gilead losing that patent. Instead, this is more of an effort by having Gilead donate 200,000 daily doses. It's kind of like making them a hero while they're still ripping off the public. And I think that's what it's really about more than it is as something to eradicate HIV. This will provide the drug for 200,000 uninsured Americans. But the problem is most insurance will not cover it. So even if you're insured and you need it, you certainly won't get it through this program, the Ready, Set, Prep program, and you probably won't be able to get it at all because it is priced so prohibitively that, frankly, most people can't afford it. It is price gouging of the worst kind by Gilead. And that's it. That's the plan. You give 200,000 people or access to a drug that really works, where you leave 800,000 people who really need it having difficulty getting access. I really should have done a whole segment on this because there's a lot to explain with this. Well, let's look at what Dr. Kenneth Meyer, medical research director at the Boston LGBT Health Center Fenway Institute, said. He said, "The reason we have an AIDS epidemic is not just for a lack of the medication. There are a lot of social, structural, individual, behavioral factors that may impact why people become infected, may impact if people who are infected engage in care, and may impact or affect people who are at high risk of HIV." Now, Azar has not said how much this is going to cost. And of course, they're going in the opposite direction of the many things that we need, such as better education about HIV for young people, destigmatizing HIV and being gay, and of course creating science-based policies. This administration is not big on science. They deny a lot of science. And if we really want to eradicate AIDS, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we also need to do beyond just making Truvada available to a small percentage of the people who need it. what Trump and HHS are proposing is actually a lot weaker than I thought it would be, and I was expecting pretty weak tea.